Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, a fresh in the trenches dialogue about all things adulthood by non-experts. My name is Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad you joined us today.
Yeah, we're here by the skin of our teeth.
Yeah, you know, both of our kids had off yesterday. Mm-hmm. Well, all of our children,
right,
due to Martin Luther King Day. Mm-hmm. And we thought we had all the time in the world to record, and
they it never happened.
Slipped away like the sands of time.
Right.
So here we are on a Tuesday morning. Feeling, what would you give yourself
crappy
out of 10? Okay, cool.
I'm feeling okay. I'm just exhausted. You're feeling crappy.
Yes, that's true.
And exhausted, I assume.
Yeah, not great.
So,
but you know,
buckle up.
A couple weekends ago, maybe it was when we got back from our break, mm-hmm, that Monday morning, I texted you and I was like, I need to remember how I feel every Monday morning and just get up every day.
Right.
Like, I felt great. I did last week too, but I also realized, like, I'm starting the morning off like chatting with a bud. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
it's pleasant. It's nice. It's hanging out.
If I set my alarm at 5:15 every morning.
Right. On a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're like, well, this is crap.
Yeah. Hello. I would be knocking on your door to be like, guess what?
Hey, gang. Yep.
Thought of a few things.
Thought of a few things.
Anyway. So, big news that isn't news, but in our current news cycle.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston reunited at the SAG Awards.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk
about
that.
Yeah. I do want to talk about that because everyone, I was a teen when they were married, and okay, I loved them, yep, together. I, yes, thought they were amazing, obviously, you know, from what you know of relationships.
I mean, she vowed to make him his favorite banana smoothies.
Okay, that's adorable.
And their vows.
And that sounds amazing right now. A banana smoothie.
That does sound really good.
Jen, if you could come to Matthew.
Here's a new vow for you.
Yeah. But I'll also, I'm like, he also like left you for someone else. Like, I don't know.
Okay, I don't know. I'm torn on this. Okay, obviously the fact
that. I am also torn, I should say.
The fact that they're amicable and friendly, mm-hmm, should not be news. I mean.
Oh, yeah, everyone. Okay, it is ridiculous how much people speculate about anything that has to do with Jennifer Aniston at all.
Yes. And the comments are very funny. If you read them, like, across E! News and comments by celebs and stuff like that, they're very funny.
Right.
But then I read something that was, like, this long thing about, like, Jen, know yourself better, blah, 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 blah.
That's
blah,
stupid.
Blah, all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but,
like, you don't know her.
Right. Like, what if she decides, like, her best version of herself was when they were together?
Right.
And I don't know. Like, I get that people feel very much like cheating once is done, like, mm-hmm, then it's done. I think because I've seen somebody forgive somebody for doing that and, like, right, value their marriage and work really hard to put it back together. I don't know. I think if in the context of your marriage,
right,
that makes sense. And also, that was a very long time ago.
It was a very long time ago.
And
he has, like, teenage children now. So.
Right. And he's gotten sober since then. He's had kids since then.
Oh, has he gotten sober?
Mm-hmm. So the big crux of his divorce with Angelina Jolie was a drunken rage that he had on a flight with, mm, their family. And now he's alienated from at least two of his children,
mm-hmm,
who tried to intervene. And this was proven because Angelina Jolie released it. Like, mm-hmm, the records, because they had to have, you know, basically DSS visits.
Right.
Anyway, since then he's been pretty public about having gotten sober, which definitely changes a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, like, okay, obviously we know none of them. They're not reading any of these Instagram accounts. But, mm-hmm, I do want us to give women some more respect. I appreciate the idea of he left you.
Uh-huh.
He cheated on you in a public way.
Although, did he cheat or he just, like, fell in love?
Yeah. I mean, but I think he was emotionally,
oh yeah, yeah,
unfaithful. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know
that either one of them ever admitted that he cheated, like, for real.
Yeah, that's a good point.
For to not, like, make it, like, by, like, physically not, like, falling in love is cheating also. But I mean, like,
yes,
because I remember at that time, like, I remember, like, it was her birthday and they went away to, like, try and heal their relationship.
They went to Anguilla for a goodbye trip.
Right. Oh. Yeah. And I remember Angelina Jolie saying a couple years later, like, I'm going to show my kids Mr. and Mrs. Smith and tell them this is the movie where your mom and dad fell in love.
Yes.
And Jennifer Aniston said that wasn't cool.
She said there was a sensitivity chip missing.
Right. So,
because then, like, before they were even divorced, they'd posed for this fake family photo shoot for Vogue or Vanity Fair. Vanity Fair.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, and Jennifer Aniston called it, quote, not cool. I remember that as a tabloid, yes, headline, like, standing in line at the grocery store. Anyway, but I don't know. I do. I guess you've convinced me. I do agree that it, for, I mean, it's none of our business too. No. I mean, and also Jennifer Aniston is 50 now. Like she can
and she's,
do whatever she wants.
She's been married. I
mean, you can do anything you want at any age. It's just right. like she knows herself too.
Right. And she's been through another failed marriage and if they're friends, great. But I just,
right.
I don't know. I think maybe in life, it is not as common to see like super friendly exes.
Right.
Especially with a very salacious divorce.
Right.
But I think part of it, too, is, like you said, all of that happened when we were in high school. So they, and Friends was at its peak, and Brad Pitt was, like, at his peak, and they were so, like, this golden couple. And now I think it's funny to see, like, now that we're adults,
right,
we're all going crazy for them.
Right, yeah. Because
it's something nostalgic.
It's very nostalgic. And I think it's, I do think it's absurd. Like, of course I can say like, oh, this and this, like lightly, but like people who are serious about like, he did this to you. Mm-hmm. You like, you don't actually know whatever happened behind closed doors.
No, you never do.
So.
Except in our marriages, like we covered last
week. Oh, I mean, you know, because we typically say everything.
Yeah.
For the people who don't put it all out sure. on the line, you just don't know. So people just really assume they know everything and it's nuts.
Yeah. That said, it was very sweet to see them supporting each other.
I think it's cute that they support each other.
Yeah. And the pictures were really sweet. And congratulations to them both who won SAG Awards.
Yeah.
I still need to watch The Morning Show on Apple TV.
We just finished Watchmen. It was amazing. So I think that's up next.
Oh, okay. Well, I finished Cheer, which is like one of the best things I've ever seen.
Ever since you've said that, wasn't it last week you said that? I have seen it everywhere. Like, oh, everyone's been talking about it on Instagram and everything. Well, and everyone's like, this is a documentary. Yeah. I'm like, oh, like I hadn't seen a thing about it until you said it. Now I see it everywhere. So
it was so, so, so good.
Yeah.
I was crying in the last episode.
Really?
It's just, it's so great.
Okay. I've got to put this. Son's never going to watch with me, so I'll.
I would rewatch it. I told David I would rewatch it with him.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh, in a heartbeat. Then we watched last night The Mind of Aaron Hernandez on Netflix.
Also don't know about that one.
Okay.
Our Netflix recommendations must be quite different.
Yeah, they've got to be. I would love to see what each of these are. Do you know who Aaron Hernandez is? The Patriots player who was.
Aaron. Yeah, okay. When you said Aaron, I thought. Okay, yes, I did hear about this. I thought E-R-I-N.
Oh.
No. Okay, yes.
A-A-R-O-N.
Yes.
It is also phenomenal. Like,
really?
Netflix has been churning out.
I would watch that, too.
Yeah, it's three episodes. And I don't know. We were just really, really captivated by it. And the compassion you end up having, which funnily enough, we'll be talking about later this episode, but the compassion you have for a convicted murderer is immense when you hear.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, when you hear his background, and then there's also, they do a lot of investigation into CTE.
I'm so interested in these studies about that.
Yes. You know, he died at 27. He committed suicide in prison, and his family donated his brain for study. And they show the autopsy of his brain. It is unbelievable the amount of damage that's done in a 27-year-old. I mean, even the female doctor who's kind of pioneering the CTE research presented the findings, and she was like, this is significant. Like, this is a staggering amount of damage. At his age. And so when you think about what that can do to a person.
Right.
But they don't present it in just feel sorry for the guy. There are plenty of people who say, but you don't see there obviously are hundreds and hundreds of football players who have probably this brain damage walking around who aren't killing people. So how much do you blame on that? And it also explores his sexuality and that he was a gay man covering it up, and there was a lot of rage living that way. And so they also interview other queer football players. It's just, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
So watch it.
Yeah, I will for sure.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I think it was yesterday evening, the New York Times editorial board endorsed two candidates for the first time.
Yes, you sent me that this morning.
Both women.
That's amazing.
Did I?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just this morning.
I don't remember doing that.
Really?
That's the fog I'm
in. It was about 30 seconds before I walked over.
Sure. I believe you that it happened. Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren. Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating. And they said, may the best woman win. And I liked what they said about it is they were like, these two women kind of represent like two possible futures of the Democratic Party. And we think this basically this fight has needed to happen for a while now. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And they're like, we want to see what happens.
Yeah.
And I liked that.
Yeah, I thought that was really great. And, you know, in a time where media is extremely polarizing, I thought that was such a collaborative way.
Yes.
To do that. Okay, Bon Appetit.
Yeah,
Yes, they have some of the best social media in the game. Like, their social media is phenomenal.
Really?
So, yes, I highly recommend following Bon Appetit Mag. But they released ways that they are making their test kitchen more sustainable in 2020, which I've seen a lot of people doing.
Yeah.
But 30% of their new recipes developed will be meatless, which I thought was really considerable. They'll compost all food scraps generated by the test kitchen. They'll buy organic when possible and will continue to use organic milk, yogurt, eggs, and chicken.
Mm-hmm.
They have already significantly reduced the use of plastic and will continue to seek sustainable alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
They'll use eco-friendly paper towels. They can be composted and continue to look for new ways to be sustainable. But I thought this was a pretty big thing to put out.
Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah, and I've noticed more and more. Like, even at Publix this weekend, they were giving out reusable bags in an effort to be sustainable.
Right.
And so I feel like there's been a real effort placed on sustainability. And yeah. I really appreciate that. I think maybe the Australian fires were kind of a wake up for
maybe,
people.
Like, or a maybe the kick conversation. In the pants. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've seen it everywhere. And I really appreciated that from a food perspective because, as you guys know, I like to cook a lot. And I'm always looking at places like Bon Appetit for inspiration.
Yes, yes.
And I feel like the more we aren't necessarily going meatless, but I think I told you I want to be more veggie forward.
Right.
More plant
right.
forward. But I feel like as I'm looking, the more meatless things I start to see, obviously, the more inspired we'll be to adopt that into our routine without it being like, this is our meatless meal.
Right. I mean, I think individuals can do a lot on our own, each of us, but it will take like the bigger companies actually making moves to make a difference.
Yeah.
So this kind of thing is very progressive, and it's very great in that you have to see other people doing it to kind of see a lot of ideas. Like, American cuisine is quite meat heavy.
Yes.
So we really need more examples of veggie dishes, like a lot of other cultures around the world have.
Yeah. Pinch of Yum, a favorite food blog, has been going a lot more plant-based. Half-Baked Harvest has been doing a lot more plant-based. So two of those two are just food blogs that I love, but I have noticed a real effort to go more plant forward as well. Oh, and I watched, I think I know I told you, one of the things that I did this year, which surprised me, was I bought a subscription to New York Times Cooking.
Yes, you did.
They were behind a paywall, which for a long time just really made me mad. But
just like the crossword puzzle. Together we have one full subscription to New York Times. Yes. Almost. Still not the articles.
Yeah, don't care about the articles. Do care about Cooking.
I get enough free ones a month because I like to supplement with anything Apple News offers.
Oh, yeah,
So I'm like, I think I can read for free. then I feel bad because I'm like, journalists work too. Everyone needs money.
Well, that's how I felt about this paywall because first I was like, obviously, I'm entitled to this for free. I do not care about these people's salaries. I don't care. But I was going to New York Times. They have an excellent... Their email marketing is really doing magic. So there are enough times that I clicked on links from their emails that I'd be like, dag nabbit, again.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's $40 a year. Or if you don't want to pay annually, it's $125 a week. But...
What? Dollar. Okay.
Yes.
I'm like, that is a horrible deal.
$1.25. It's 5 quarters a week. But that obviously adds up to more than $40 a month.
Right.
So anyway, I paid for it. One of their contributing...
Actually, that's the same price of the crossword annually.
Oh, well, look at that.
Cute.
That is cute. anyway,
they... Which I also pay for monthly. Sorry, go ahead.
You pay for monthly?
I also didn't do the annual thing.
Sucker.
Yeah.
Somebody just got a raise because one paid
I'm
monthly.
Supporting... Ben Schwartz? No, Ben Schwartz is the actor. Oh, I can't believe I'm so foggy. I know this guy's name.
It's okay.
The crossword editor. He's my hero, and I can't remember his name. So my freaking kid's keeping me up all night.
Anyway.
Carry on.
Melissa Clark, who's one of the contributors who has excellent recipes, she is just a very charming person. She did a video for New York Times all about how to be more sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And what I just love her approach. New York Times put out like a whole big, like, I don't know, interactive infographic article about ways to be more sustainable with what you eat. And
oh, that's cool.
It's so good. I'll send it to you. Not to you, every listener. I'll send it to all of you.
Individually. Check your DMs. Maybe share it. Share it on our pages enough.
It's me. Anyway, she did this video. And basically, she talks about what I appreciate and is more accessible of, you don't have to just stop eating meat. Just
right.
Eat a little bit less. Eat right. One yeah. less serving a week.
Right.
Same with dairy.
Yeah.
Don't. And so she even talks about some of her quote-unquote vegetarian dishes. You'll see she'll add a little bit of bacon to them
mm-hmm.
or a little bit of beef stock because she's like, you can get what you love about meat
mm-hmm.
in a way that isn't a meat-heavy dish.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't have to be strictly vegetarian. You can add some
right.
small things
right.
to give you that feel. And right. I really appreciated that
yeah.
because there are also – I'm not going to get on my soapbox about this – but there are also consequences if we just all decide not to eat meat
right.
collectively ever again.
Like, right, right.
There are a lot of economic issues. Like, we have built our economy on a meat-heavy economy.
Right.
Same with the use of plastics. We have a very plastics-heavy economy. There are consequences if we are just all like, and now we're done with these things.
Right. So we need to bundle it all up and send it into space. Doi.
Sure. Not quite what I meant, but you know what?
We're not on the same page.
Do you remember when Kevin Costner... Okay, do you remember when there was that big oil leak in the Gulf,
uh-huh.
like a decade ago,
mm-hmm.
and no one could figure out how to clean it, and mm-hmm. Kevin Costner was like, oh, guys, I've been sitting on this waiting for this. He had, like, invested in this vessel that is what it does. It's like an oil vacuum
okay.
for water. I feel like that's you just now.
Kevin Costner circa 2010 is like, basically what I aim for.
Obviously, we need the plastic space cannon. I've
yeah.
been invested in for a very long time.
Idiots. You're all not. You're all missing out on a perfect opportunity to clean up the world
yeah,
here.
Yeah, so in 2030, when New York Times
some other world's problem.
It's infographic about how to clean up space trash.
Yeah, it's on someone else, another planet where there is no life. Shoot it off there.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Genius.
Anyway, there are economic impacts of just like deciding to put Rubbermaid out of business or
right, right.
whatever. So you have to be smart about it. But I do think we can all do a much better job.
Right. It's the single use plastics that not like Rubbermaid in particular, but like, you know, the plastic bags and the plastic cutlery.
Actually.
Yeah.
Hannah, I did learn from this infographic
yeah.
that plastic bags have a smaller carbon footprint than do paper bags.
Really?
Yes.
That upsets me.
I'll send
you I don't really
link.
Use paper bags either. I use the reusable ones with handles. But I have paper bags because I'm like, well, if I've forgotten my bags,
right.
I'm just going to do paper.
But everyone knows that paper bags are better anyway because they stand up in the car and they don't spill.
Right, exactly. And you can fit a ton of stuff in one.
Right.
But I always just picture like my plastic bag wrapped around like a poor fish. Yeah.
Yeah. They're fine with them. It's
they don't mind. I've asked them.
Hot take. Aquatic Life loves plastic bags.
But the bags you see floating around Myrtle Beach are fine.
Yeah, well that's just Myrtle Beach's vibe. That's no problem.
Yeah, then they're not going anywhere.
That's their branding. But
I think those are like I find it a lot easier to cut down on like those single use things than like cuz you know I don't know. I'm like, I'm not throwing out Rubbermaid containers, but I will throw out, like, every time we order Japanese, they include
yeah,
cutlery.
Yeah.
I could just say, please don't put that in.
You could do that. Yes.
But I haven't.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
I thought of it right now.
I have not cut down on my Diet Dr. Pepper consumption at all and very much enjoy it from 20-ounce bottles. So, that's my
that
single use.
That is so specific.
I know.
Well, this has been enlightening for everyone.
Yeah. Well, clearly we've got a lot to talk about. There's been some resolution in the royal family.
Uh-huh.
Harry and Meghan are done. They are no longer Royal Highness titles.
I really appreciate their candidacy. Candidness? Yeah. Is that the word?
Yep.
Their candidness?
Yes.
On this topic.
Yes. And Queen Elizabeth released a statement about it, basically to try to end a lot of talk about it. And I appreciated her angle being much more as a grandmother than a ruler. I thought, you know, you don't see a lot of warmth from her publicly often. And I felt like
British.
She was warm and made sure to talk about how proud she was of Meghan specifically, which I thought was a very nice thing to do.
Yeah, it was good. I hope that it kind of sends a message of like, you can't do whatever you want to anyone you want. You don't own these people.
Yeah.
I do remember, I don't know at what point in the last 12 hours I sent this to you, because it's all a blur, but I sent you this hilarious line that was like, we literally fought a revolutionary war so that we wouldn't have to care about these people.
Oh, that was like 10 minutes ago.
That was last night. Well, that's where we're at, and we will take a quick break and then get into a topic Caroline's been wanting to talk about for a while, so I'm really interested in diving deep down. So,
yeah,
stay tuned.
Okay, we're back.
We need to release an in-between the scenes like Trevor Noah does.
Yeah, sometimes we don't take real breaks. We just lie to you. But this time we took a real one.
Mm-hmm.
We were, I don't know, deep dive into parenting. But here we are back. Yes, Hannah mentioned this is a topic that I've been wanting to talk about for a little while. The way that we come up with our topics is we text each other and say, what do you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
And usually I will have mentioned something many times, but in a very passive way,
mm-hmm.
instead of just being like, I'd like to talk about this. So like, even yesterday, I was like, whatever you want to, we could talk about compassion fatigue.
We have actually a good list that you've come up with, and that you being you, Caroline, and also like listeners have sent in a lot of good suggestions.
Yeah.
And they're all on the docket for the next several weeks. So I've been excited to talk about this for a little while, because I hadn't really thought of that phrase until you brought that up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, I really felt it in a strong way around Christmas. But before we dive into that, there is actually a definition of compassion fatigue.
Okay.
That I want to cover. So according to the internet, no source, just the internet.
Sure.
Compassion fatigue is defined as indifference to charitable appeals on behalf of those who are suffering, experienced as a result of the frequency or number of such appeals, which I think is a very good working definition.
Okay.
Of compassion fatigue. Also unsourced, there are common symptoms of compassion fatigue.
Okay.
Would you
physical? Like me? Yes.
We'll find out. Okay. Would you like me to share them?
Yes, yes.
Chronic physical and emotional exhaustion, depersonalization, feelings of inequity toward the therapeutic or caregiver relationship, irritability, feelings of self-contempt, difficulty sleeping, headaches, and weight loss, which...
Not on my end.
Yeah, definitely have not lost any weight as a result of my compassion fatigue.
You're not doing it right.
obviously. Let me add that to my list.
Yeah.
To my self-contempt.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so let's dive in here. I know that an upside of social media and the internet has been that more and more people's stories have been able to, you know, gain traction.
Yeah.
Things that they've gone through, personal tragedy, struggles. Lots of GoFundMes everywhere. And I think
awareness of a lot of different things.
Yeah. And I think you have seen a lot of like, okay, this is an example of humanity being a great place.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of ways that it could feel like the world is pretty impersonal. So ways that you can plug in somewhere and feel like you're making a difference.
Right.
It's all really good.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's not good anymore for yourself.
Right.
So over Christmas, I obviously, and as always, texted you about this. It was like a couple weeks before Christmas, I guess. And I just started to feel a certain way. I don't even know exactly how to describe the way, but I felt very anxious and irritable.
Uh-huh.
That I felt like, in addition to the vast number of things I wanted to do for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
the vast number of things I needed to do for Christmas or had a financial obligation to do, I felt very guilty that I wasn't doing more for all of the different things that had come up of ways to give.
Right.
Families in need who didn't have Christmas at all. An old man who his wife had died and all he wanted was Christmas cards for Christmas.
Right, so yeah.
Somebody else who's, you know, autistic son loves Christmas cards. Could somebody send them to him? There was just all of this that I'm like, all of these are very good with a low entry point.
Right.
But it all feels like too much. and I don't know why I feel this way about it.
Right.
And I started to realize, like, I'm tired of caring about other people.
Right.
And that felt very unsettling to me, that I felt like I have reached my capacity of caring about other people. And I want to talk about how to combat that.
Right.
And can you relate to that?
Yes, for sure. And especially because luckily for us and for a lot of people, we were raised with, like, mothers who, like, doted on and cared about us over the holidays. But once you get older, I mean, we both still have those mothers.
Yeah.
But then you have to go and do that for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, wait, you know, Christmas isn't what I what it looked like. You know, my parents really went out of their way when I was growing up to make Christmas magical. And that's actually pretty stressful. And there's a whole lot of different realities. And I want a magical Christmas for my kids. And I want to do all these things with my family. And those things come with, like, costs. And most of those costs for me are mental.
Mm-hmm.
And adding in on top of that, like, all these other things. And especially something that I think, I can't remember which of us pointed it out or if we kind of just came to this together, was like, there's an element of at this time of the year, at the end of the year, this is now the new year, but at the end of last year, you feel
last decade
I've turned you at the end of last decade, you feel like, oh, everyone is giving because, you know, companies kind of jump on that of like, you can get your tax deductions in now. And it really, it's like, oh, my gosh.
This is the reason for the season
to give back to others. Yes. Yeah. And it's true that, like, I would rather my kids not be thinking only of themselves around Christmas time. And I do want them to think of others. So there is obviously validity to all of that. Like, these are all important causes and important things. But it's also, like, around the craziest time of year. It, like, just feels like so much. I don't know what to do with that. And I think we both kind of landed on, like, in general, we try and do a lot all year round, but it feels very guilty if we can't do everything around the holidays. And it's because I think everyone is doing it very publicly around the holidays. And so it's like, wait, if I'm not doing it like they're doing it, then there's a problem.
Yeah, I think that maybe that's a piece of it, is not just the choice to be involved or not be involved. I think there does feel now in our culture, like, that you need to prove to somebody that you're doing something. Like, if you're taking something to the fire station, like, here we are at the fire station. Here we are at the fire station. Look at us doing this.
Right.
And so, in addition to not doing it.
Right.
Then I feel like a double
whammy
of, if I never knew who did it or who didn't do it, I wouldn't think about it at all.
Yes.
But if I feel like I just saw, I don't know, six people in my feed making cards for the senior citizen man who's alone with their kids because it's an easy thing to do, but I'm not doing it.
But it seems easy because all you see is them happily gathered around a table coloring.
Right.
And you don't see the background. Like, for me, that would look like forcing my kids to, like, it would just look totally different because, like, you know, your kids have fun if they decide they want to sit down and color.
Yeah.
But if you tell them to sit down and do something, it's going to be a different story. Yeah. And then it becomes a control issue, and everything is a control issue with kids. Like, it's a totally different story. And it's, again, I think part of that whole, the highlight reel of social media, like, you're getting, you're getting this perfect view. And it's good. It's not good. Again, it's not. It's good that you are sharing.
Yeah, it's a net positive for everyone. You're bringing awareness to something. You are showing that for somebody it could be a very low entry.
Right.
But I also, but I will go out of my way. Like, Nora Beth decided, like, Christmas Eve, or it was Christmas Eve, that she wanted to go get presents for some unnamed girl that we don't know. We've never even heard of her. Just a random girl who didn't have Christmas. She wanted to go and get her Christmas presents.
Which is beautiful. That's a beautiful thing.
So we did, because I was like, I'm not going to tell her that she can't.
And here's the thing, that she thought of that.
Yes, for sure. This was self-motivated.
That's a big part of it. So, like, I think even that, like, it's exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
But even that, you didn't have to say, no, God, no, Nora Beth, like, let's think about others. You obviously have done something right in, like, helping her, like, fostering empathy in her. Which is great. I think if, I think maybe it would have helped me a little bit too if my kids had suggested that. I'm not saying, like, oh, I'm not doing anything if my kids don't suggest it. But, like,
no.
When you have to make everyone in your family do everything, it gets so tiring.
Yeah. Well, so before Christmas Eve church, I knew Target was still open.
Right.
And so we went and did that. We shopped around.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt like, okay, I'm happy to do this. But was I checking our bank account? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to be sure, like, okay, we have made a lot of financial,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, purchases leading up to birthdays and Christmas. And
right.
This is not, you know, financing another child's Christmas is not exactly...
Like, wasn't in the budget.
Yeah, it wasn't our plan for that day. But it was really great for her. She was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's part of it, too, for me, is when I see people flocking to a cause, which is, they're always good. They're always worthy. There's never a worthy cause.
Yeah.
But you feel like you personally are struggling financially with your resources or whatever. I don't know. I feel like, but I need help too.
Yeah.
I would love for somebody to do that for me.
Right.
And like the kindest thing that anyone has ever done to me and I just found out who it was, so I haven't talked about it until now, was this summer we just were facing a really lean financial time. We hadn't told anybody about it. And in my mailbox, there showed up a $100 gift card for groceries.
Oh, that's so nice.
Without a word, it wasn't signed. There was a really sweet card. And it was like, this just came at such a lovely time. Like,
right.
Just such an impactful, wonderful time for us. And it's those things that feel so powerful
mm-hmm.
to me and made me feel like, okay, I want to continue to just sprinkle things in here and there that might be impactful for somebody.
Right.
So if that's
all
like,
year round.
Yeah, a gift card to one of the workers at the Y, they are hugely influential to us and mean so much. But I know they don't get paid very well. Same with our preschool teachers. Any teacher, any educator. Mm-hmm.
Anyone who takes care of children, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, nobody gets paid what they're worth
in
those sectors. But I'm having to choose what are the things that would feel impactful to me as a recipient and I feel like would be impactful to someone else that isn't quote unquote trending
mm-hmm.
that is a cause I care about very personally.
Right.
Because I think in the typical way that we find out about these causes and these stories and these issues right now is through social media
mm-hmm.
where we may only be like a third level connection to the story. I think working for a nonprofit has affected how I see things as well
mm-hmm.
because I hear so many stories all the time that are so moving and so compelling and I'm surrounded with it. And mm-hmm. so then I think when I see other stories come or the pacing of them, obviously at the end of the year, as you pointed out, that's when we hear a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like too much because I'm in it every single day. And when I put this out on Instagram last night, two different people who work in the medical field said that they could very much relate. As nurses and caregivers that, you know, they're surrounded by people suffering all the time. And there comes a point that to be able to do your job well, and I'm not talking about me in this scenario, but as a professional caregiver, you mm-hmm. have to separate yourself from some of it, you know?
Yeah.
That's a hard line. And so for me, it hasn't been as much giving to other nonprofits, though you think that maybe I would as someone in nonprofit, because I know what that money can do. And small monthly gifts are the lifeblood of a nonprofit. So don't be intimidated if you can't give $100 a month. Like 5 or 10 makes a big difference monthly to a nonprofit. But
it's good to know.
Yeah. It's been, for me, impacting people that I know personally in small ways that I have to remember that's still giving, even if it isn't to a 501c3, but if it's giving meals to people that I know are having a hard time.
Even if it's not something that, like, everyone knows about, it's still valid that you still helped someone.
Yeah, because...
Or, like, watching someone's kid because they need to run out the door or
have an emergency. All the time, you're so generous with your time of that.
Well, it's just whatever. That's the thing, is what everyone's comfortable giving.
Yeah.
Like, you always give food, and I always think, ugh, I wish I could help out in that way.
Right.
But, like, cooking and especially baking, but cooking is more like, I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, I have to cook for my own family.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is like it's more like, what can you give and mm-hmm. fit it, like, to others? What I can give is my time, my home, if you need to, like, drop your kid off here. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just a little, think about how you can help people and try and not to play the comparison game of like, Caroline's giving food, I should be giving food. No, yeah. Caroline can give the food and I can give the time.
So together.
Right. Together, we have a whole lot to give. Team up with people or something.
Yeah. No, that is a really great point, because I think that's where I feel like, well, I'm not at the point where I can go click another GoFundMe and give what feels like any kind of amount. And I think with GoFundMe, because it shows what the latest gifts were, even though you can do it anonymously, I don't want $5 to show up on my feed.
50? Yeah. A little, or like someone has contributed 100 and then you're like,
here I am with 10. Yeah. That feels, I don't know, chintzy or something. But yeah. I feel like in a single person's life that like a tragedy happened really close to home this past week. A neighborhood beside us, there was a real tragic loss in a family. And somebody shared, like, if anyone would like to give them a meal, DM me and I'll share their meal train. And I'm like, again, obviously that's something that doesn't feel like a huge amount of work to me.
Right.
But it will make a difference in that person.
Right.
Their direct life, where I'm not going to contribute to their GoFundMe, because then I get into that real weird headspace of how much is, like, looks like too little, and how much then feels like too much for me to give at this point.
Right.
So I signed up and gave a meal, took it to them. The end. It didn't feel like a huge thing off my back, but I didn't feel the need to post it anywhere. But it did feel like, okay, there's something that I'm doing that's giving back, that is just in the regular rhythm of our lives. Right. And I think that for me is the only way to sustain it, because, and maybe that's where I ran into with Christmas, of giving all of these things and being blitzed with all of these stories felt like it wasn't in the general flow of my life. And I want giving and making a difference and being kind to others, especially for my girls, to feel like it's not outside the norm. It's not a seasonal thing.
Yes.
It's just little bits all the time.
Understand that, like, everyone has a different part to play. Like, you know, we can't all give a meal. Maybe we can give our time. We can't all give our time. Maybe we can give a phone call. We can't all do, you know.
And frankly, maybe you're in a season where you can't do any of that. And that's true. Is also okay. Yeah. And I think that's where I needed the freedom to be like, it is okay if I don't do anything.
Yes.
That's fine. So I think for each of us, for compassion fatigue, it's a very, 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 very real thing.
Right.
I think being aware of the things that we do have, and also knowing that, I think it can be very, as a complete other side note, I think it can be very crippling to not acknowledge the struggles that you have in your own life in comparison to other people's lives.
Oh, yes. That's
a good point. So if I see someone going through just the ultimate worst trial and then feel like I cannot feel my own life because it's so bad, that's only going to fuel ultimate fatigue for everything.
Everyone compassion is walking for their own journey. So it's like, just because, like, someone else, like, you know, you're having a hard week.
Yeah.
And like, when you're like, oh, I'm having a hard week at work, and plus I'm sick or something like that, or it's a big week at work and I'm sick, and I'm like, well, I, like, didn't sleep last night, but I'm mostly fine, so I shouldn't complain about it.
Yeah.
Like, complain about it is maybe the wrong thing, but it's like, everyone has different struggles, and I think it's easy to say in that time, like, well, it's not valid, or like, well, I shouldn't complain because based on Caroline, like, I'm having a better week, or based on many people who have been displaced in Australia, I'm having a much better week. But at the same time, it's easy to, like, our lives are still valid and matter too.
Totally.
It sounded very self.
No. I get what I do think it's okay to acknowledge, like, oh, I have a sore throat, but compared to someone who has smoke damage, or smoke inhalation, I can't complain. It's okay. It's okay to say, like, it's not great here, and I know it's worse in other places, and I'm going to do my part where I can.
I think that maybe comes from the mindset of, like, I don't know, where it's like, well, you know how people have a tendency to say, like, oh, well, at least you're not.
Oh, totally.
At least you have a food to put on the table. Like, well, yeah, that's true, but I still, it's just, it's a kind of, like, mainly just acknowledging feelings, I think, is the base of it. And I think we tend to have a hard time with that. It's okay to we tend to not want to live in sit in discomfort. Yeah. So I think when we see someone else sitting in discomfort, we kind of want to alleviate that some way. So we're like, well, Think about it this way. When it's like when someone's not going through a great moment for whatever reason, the last thing they want to hear is some annoyingly positive person be like, at least you're not, it could be way worse.
Yeah. Well, like, and it's way easier to offer advice to other people. Yeah. Like,
or like, you know, if you're having a hard time with your kids, like if I'm having a hard time and say you were like, well, at least you don't have a third thrown in the mix or something like that. It's like, that doesn't help me and my, you don't do that. This is not, to be clear. But like that, that doesn't, let's all stop saying that. Let's all stop saying at least, because that helps no one in any situation. Perspective is not something you want to gain in the moment. It doesn't happen. You do it after, when you realize you shouldn't have yelled at your kids or something like that. So,
but I think there is just a piece where it's a constant balance between owning what you have, helping where you can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that same way, like if you do find yourself at a point where if you're complaining about being tired and I know what I have to do this week, I don't want to just immediately like shut you out either.
Right.
Talk to me when you are working a full-time job with three kids at home. Yes, whatever.
Because it's so easy to come off that way.
Yeah. Like. Well, so I think it is constantly keeping in check where you're being replenished.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is taking a time out from every conversation, putting yourself on do not disturb, refilling your cup for a minute, canceling out everything that is taxing you, and then coming back to a situation where you're like, okay, this is a whole different perspective now.
It's been good for me to set my bedtime as like on your iPhone, you can set a time to go to sleep and a time to wake up in your clock app, FYI, if you are not aware. And if you set your bedtime to a certain time, it'll put your phone on do not disturb at that time, which has been helpful for me to not like get that constant like updates
from me
throughout the night,
sending you stories.
You and my dad.
Yeah.
No, I don't get Instagram. I've turned off Instagram alerts a long time ago. But just if, like, you know, someone sends me a text late at night, I mean, for do not disturb type things, if it's an emergency, someone can text, like, call three times and it'll come through, or call two times, something like that. But I'm like, do I need to get back after 10:30? Probably not. Like, it's better for my mind to like shut down.
Yeah.
Because for me, I have such a problem with like shutting my mind down so I can actually like get rest. So I think you're exactly right. It's really finding what you need to like. Thought you were gonna finish the sentence for me.
Nope.
No. Not just this time. Left you hanging.
I'm tired of picking up the slack.
You don't. For you. At least your throat isn't hurting.
At least you don't have three kids waiting for you at home for breakfast.
Well, we have Jasper. So.
Oh God, he's been something.
He's just watching you.
Will not be donating to the SBCA today, Jasper. So anyway, I'd love to hear from you guys. Hannah probably would too, but I'm only speaking for myself. And how you combat compassion fatigue.
Yes, I would also love.
Those of you who are caregivers and reached out and said that it is something that you definitely struggle with, let me know how you do. Or do you? I mean,
right. Some people, I think, have to get really good at compartmentalizing.
I think therapists do. I remember telling my therapist at the time, like, to me, you have a terrible job, which I realized was very insulting, but basically my point was, like, you hear, like, the worst part of everybody's day all the time. Like, how do you care at the end of it, especially when you're seeing all ranges of people?
Right, so like, imagine if you're seeing, like, abuse.
Yes,
and then
or somebody.
I come in and I'm like, well, Pasan keeps annoying me with this fight he brings up.
About popping gum.
Right.
No, it's like, so if you just got a terminal diagnosis, which is what we deal with in my nonprofit a lot, and then I'm coming in like, my mental load is too hard.
Right.
Like,
kids love me too much.
Right. All they want to do is play with me. like, shut the F up.
Yeah.
But I don't know how. I'm thankful that that was not my calling in life, because I don't know how you do it. Because I struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. All the people that come to me for therapy, which is everyone. Jokes. Anyway, we'll be linking the top 10 biggest causes that we think you should donate to in the notes below.
We're going to make this real easy on you. Here's who you should call and tell what. Here's who you should give money to.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day.
Yeah. Actually, could you just send us money?
Yeah, you can support. You should support two suburban moms.
Items 1 through 10 are Caroline and Hannah.
All under different shell GoFundMes.
All right. Well, I hope this has been interesting.
I'm sure it's seemed seamless in the listening, but let me tell you, in the recording today,
it's been a bit rough.
It's been a little rocky.
Yeah. So we'll take a quick break, and then I got to tell you some feedback that I heard in person for.
Oh no.
For you.
For me?
Yes.
Oh God. Okay. I've got two quick things too.
Okay. Okay, so this weekend, my in-laws had a housewarming party. They've just bought a new house. And so the whole, like a bunch of, not the whole, a bunch of the family was together. So some people are a little not sure if soup is the healthiest option.
Okay, so. Well, I look banging right now. So here on my period in my big sweatshirt. So screw you all.
Anyway, so yeah, it's a good idea to put yourself out there until I talk about you with my family behind your back. Anyway, no, I had a great weekend with my family. And it was so nice to get together with everyone. And
I feel like you don't care about that. You were just too generalized about why soup isn't a healthy option.
Well, I was going to say, but you have been talking so much about soup. So our friend Chris texted us and said, yeah. she said, I love you guys, but soup, right? Didn't she say that? Yes, she said
it's water with mixes.
Yes, which I love. I don't feel like my family is alone in their criticism of soup 2K20.
I feel attacked.
So, I don't know, though. This is a super cold week, and I don't mind adopting soup this
super
week.
Super cold. You're right. You're right.
I could go for some soup. Not the healthy kind that you're allegedly talking about. But anyway.
All right, well, I would have brought you some, but no more. Okay, so before I get into my quick good idea segment, I do want to remind you we have a local meetup on the 29th, next Wednesday.
Yes.
At the Loyalist Market in Matthews. We will be there at 7. Is that what time we start?
I think so.
Yeah. 7. It seems like a good group is going to be there. We'll be there. Have crockpots full of soup.
What? Will we?
I should probably ask permission before that. So we'll be there. We hope that you are too. And we'll be talking about things such as snow leopards and Arctic foxes. Those two animals have featured heavily in my house.
Okay. Well, I feel okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Or whatever interests you in the moment.
But let me tell you about snow leopards and Arctic foxes. Okay. That was my segue.
Oh. Yes. Okay. Same page.
Yep. When I took the girls to the zoo a couple weeks ago, they have these very adorable Arctic foxes that are very close to the people. And the girls were like, what sound do those animals make?
Okay.
I didn't know. So I was like, meet, meet, meet.
What?
It's the only thing that I can think of.
The Roadrunner sound.
Yeah. So now that's what they think Arctic foxes make. But they'll go up to people. They wear Arctic fox costumes. Like I got them these furry hats that are white. So they'll go up to people and just go, meet. Me. And everyone's like, what are you? And they're like, Arctic foxes.
Mom, this idiot has no idea.
I mean, like, at the Y, the lady who works at the check-in desk, she's always like, oh, who are you today? And they're like, me.
Yes.
And I'm like, Valerie, they're Arctic foxes. Just go with it. And at
Doi.
At Animaler's 3-year well check, the pediatrician's like, do you know animal sounds for me, Anna Blair?
Oh, no.
And
I'm glad you asked. Buckle up.
Anna Blair first was like, the doctor said, what is that? And she goes, new cone. Unicorn.
Yes.
And then she's like, okay, well, can you tell me another?
Can you tell me a real animal?
Meet, 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 meet. And the doctor's like, what is that? And she's like, oh, fox.
The doctor's like, we'll just check it. We'll check the box. She's like,
that seems fine. And I'm like, can you just tell her what a cat makes?
Can you be normal? You weirdos.
Like, <"Marrr!" laughs> Like, I mean, just like this angry cat. And I'm like, all right, any other questions? Can you just check us off?
Are we good to go?
So now we're into snow leopards.
Does that mean that when you come over here, you're like stepping on Jasper's tail because that's the only way she knows what an angry cat sounds
We taught
like.
Him to say meet, meet.
He is staring at you pretty incredulously right now.
Yeah, he knows. He knows what I'm saying. But in an effort to teach them more about snow leopards and Arctic foxes, I pulled up some like Planet Earth style videos.
Okay.
About like tundra animals.
That's one way.
Mm-hmm.
To teach people about life.
Unfortunately, I wasn't thinking through. I hadn't pre-screened it. I never pre-screened stuff that kids watch. There's this whole scene about how the walruses are running out of room to hunt. And so they just are like on top of each other on this island.
Yeah.
And it's very weird. And some of them climb to the very top of the cliff and then they just fall off. Did you know about this?
I did. This they was try a to big get down. Thing when it just came out. Because it's talking about like how the ice caps are melting and stuff, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And so it's just this like
it's tragic.
Slow motion footage of these walruses like falling off cliffs and like their bodies banging into the rocks and stuff. And the girls are like, what are they doing? And I'm like, I don't know. they're like jumping. And they're like, that's so silly. Is that one dead? And I'm like, no, no.
Its blood is supposed to be outside.
Its organs don't go inside. That's a special walrus.
I'm like, because that it's not planet Earth, right? It's the other one that just came out, like, in the last several months, because that was a big thing, was that, like, it's really well done. But it is
gruesome.
Yeah, it's gruesome, because it's real. Like, that's, like, what the world is starting to look like. And definitely
it's
not.
It's, like, Netflix's version.
Isn't it still David Attenborough, or no?
I think so.
Yeah.
Our planet,
yeah.
Well, I am a fangirl of Planet Earth, but it is not that gruesome. And so I'm like, okay. And I never like to react to things that they're watching. Right. Like, I want to just... because I don't want them to think anything of it. So then the next scene is, like, these orcas torturing this penguin, like, bouncing it back and forth, like, trying to catch it. And Norma's like, I can just see her face, like, completely, like, paralyzed. And she just goes, like, real quietly, are we going to see the snow leopards now? Because we just haven't talked about, like, animals eat each other. And I'm like, hell no, we're not going to see the snow leopards now. What are they going to do?
Definitely not. They're predators.
They're going to take, like, a human baby. Like, you can't watch this. So anyway, we did find a YouTube video, very cute, of Arctic foxes that bounce really high and, like, land nose down. That's how they hunt. They land nose down in the snow and get little things out.
Oh, yes, yes.
Very funny. So very good. They're very precious. This is not an endorsement for our planet. It was, I mean, it's beautifully done, but
boy. It's really good, but you definitely need, if you're showing your kids, you need to be able to have
a conversation with
them. Like, they need to be kind of old enough. Because, like, Milan and I can have those conversations now where I'm like, well, this is, like, the way things are. I probably wouldn't draw that up as, like, oh, you love this animal?
You want to see some cute little animals? That's what I thought. And Anna Blair just has her blanket, like, over her face and her fingers in her mouth. Like, just, and I go, Anna Blair, are you okay? And she just went, yes. I'm like, okay. Oh,
that's amazing.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, that's great. This poor kids.
I know.
They're gonna, like, their like, role play with friends is going to become a lot more violent.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you be the walrus, I'll be the cliff, like, guys, our nugget.
Climb up on this tree to the very top.
Lay on top of me first, because we don't have any room, because our ice cap melted.
Climb on the roof. One of you will jump. Mommy said that's what they do.
It's fine, just lay there.
You're moving too much. There's not enough blood. Oh gosh. Okay. Well, you know.
So do with that what you
pre-screen.
Will. Or just don't.
Look at a rating.
Literally Google it, because I'm sure I would
if you
seen.
Google our planet, that would have come up, because that was such a big thing. Walrus scene was such a big thing.
Awful. And I was like, yay, we found something. Because first I was like, why did they take Planet Earth off? Oh, Netflix just did it with their own play.
What could go wrong? Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, cartoons. Cartoons are the answer.
Yeah. The ones that jump by, like, shoving their jump and then nose first down
the Arctic
snow.
Foxes.
Yes.
Kira
so
and
cute.
Hunter.
Okay.
That's in our house. They're named Kira and Hunter.
Okay, I'm like, this is what we look up on YouTube?
No. Norbeth is Kira, Anna Blair is Hunter. They can tell you what they say and how they jump, but they're very cute.
That's adorable. And they say meet, meet, like, Roadrunner.
Obviously, as you can find everywhere.
All right, well... thanks for bearing with us on yet another self-discovery episode.
Our journey. We'll be back here next week in your feeds or in person next Wednesday night.
Oh, I'm like, no, I don't.
All right, Hannah will stay here watching our kids. I will see you at the Loyalist Market with ladles full of soup.
Oh, my God. Come in from the cold. All right, have a good week.
Bye.